Hey folks, Kevin Pang here. We've got a couple of more weeks until we bring you a brand new season of Proof. And until then, you know the drill by now, it's Best of Proof Award Season, where we bring you award-winning episodes from our back catalog. As we enter Women's History Month, we want to highlight this episode from 2020.
食べ物が自分の体を作っているっていうそのサイクルを理解できないような環境は危険だと思います。
It revolves around one woman, Sakura Yoshida, a wild boar hunter in Japan. She wrestles with what it means to hunt and eat game in Japan, and reporter Hannah Kirshner tells us about the history of eating meat in Japan. This episode helped us win Best Podcast in the International Association of Culinary Professionals 2021 Media Awards. And with that, here's Sakura and the Wild Boars, hosted by founding host Bridget Lancaster.
I'm walking through a field behind my house in Japan looking for damage from wild boars. I'm in Ishikawa Prefecture, which is on the Sea of Japan side of Honshu, the main island, in a little town called Yamanaka. Yamanaka actually means in the mountains, and every direction I look, there are mountains. This field is totally overgrown with weeds, and there are these big mud pits. Ugh, there's one right there, dug by wild boars. And the boars, they come and they root around for worms and grubs and tubers. And of course, what they really love is stuff that we grow, like grains, sweet potatoes. This whole field that's all weeds now used to be rice paddies and vegetable gardens. But my neighbors, who are mostly elderly, have completely given up on trying to grow anything here. They just got too tired of trying to deal with the boars. But I'm trying, and so far my little vegetable garden's okay. But I'm worried because I see these footprints, I see these mud pits, and the boars are definitely around. So my friend Sakura, who's a hunter, agreed to come by and take a look. And there's this box trap over there at the edge of the woods. And she offered to set it and try to catch the boars. I said, let's not tell my husband, Hiroshi. He's pretty much vegan, and he loves pigs and boars.
Hiroshi wa inoshishi. Kawaiso.
Kawaiso.
Buta to inoshishi wa daisuki desu. So desu ne.
Shikata nai.
Hiroshi feels sorry for the boars, and that made her laugh. But Sakura said she loves boars too. I know she does. She really seems to relate to them. Her name means cherry blossom, but her spirit is really more like a sturdy boar than a delicate flower. As much as she loves boars, though, she said they cause so much trouble for people, so she has to do something about it. Inoshishi is the word for boar, and the baby boars are called uribo, which means melon boy, because they're round and striped like a watermelon. They're incredibly cute, but Sakura tells me that even uribo can do a lot of damage. And I've learned this battle between boars and humans is at least as old as agriculture in Japan.
In this episode, author Hannah Kirshner brings us to rural Japan. We follow a boar hunter named Sakura Yoshida. Along the way, we'll untangle misconceptions about meat consumption and game hunting in Japan. To do that, we have to look at shifting relationships between humans, livestock, and wild animals all throughout history. From America's Test Kitchen, I'm Bridget Lancaster, and this is Proof.
Sakura has a real intimacy with her food and where it comes from. I think many of us aspire to that, but wouldn't really be comfortable with the messy reality of it.
Inoshishi, gomen nasai ya ne.
Sakura says that no matter how cute the boars are, they cause problems for humans, like the damage in the fields around my house. Sakura loves boars, but she says, as a human, I want to help humans, so I have to say sorry to the boars. Sakura started hunting about 4 years ago because she wanted to help her neighbors. She switched her shift at the convenience store to work overnight so she could be free in the morning to hunt. And now she has a part-time job doing park maintenance up in the mountains. She spends most of her time outside where she wants to be. She's in her mid-40s, and hunting has become her life. Her husband runs an osteopathy clinic. Sakura had never even considered hunting until she heard about the trouble his patients were having with boars. She remembers a neighbor complaining about the boars destroying her fields. They would dig up and eat the sweet potatoes just before they were ready to harvest, she said. And they'd eat all the bamboo shoots in a grove nearby. Our friend Nimaida-san complains about it too. He's in his 60s, and he revived the rice fields in his childhood village outside Yamanaka, further up in the mountains. In the last 15 years, he says the boars have destroyed his whole rice crop 3 or 4 times. That's 100 kilos of rice, gone overnight. More than 200 pounds. And the most infuriating part is they will eat like half the grains on a stalk and then just trample the rest. He says he wants to give up. Nimaida-san can go to the supermarket if he runs out of rice, but you can imagine if you were farming all your own food. That would be devastating. And actually, in the 18th century, thousands of peasants died because of what became known as the wild boar famine. Farming was becoming more commercial in that period, so people were relying less on wild foods. Forests turned into farmland, and that pitted people against boars. And that's the problem we're still dealing with.
So Hannah, how did you come to live in Japan, and I want to know how you met Sakura?
Well, actually, I wrote a book about Yamanaka. The book is called Water, Wood, and Wild Things, and it's about people making the things that weave together into the local culture and community. For the past 5 years or so, I've been learning from woodworkers, seeing how sake is made, practicing tea ceremony, foraging with mountain masters, things like that. Inoshishi come up a lot in conversation here, so I felt I needed to include a boar hunter in my book. Sakura let me tag along with her for a season of hunting. So all these things started as research for Water, Wood, and Wild Things, but now the book is out and I still live in Yamanaka, and these people I was writing about have become my friends. I'm working at the sake brewery seasonally, I'm still taking tea lessons, and I bought a house here. I learned to grow rice over the last few years, and it's my dream to revive the rice fields around my house. Nimaida-san says I shouldn't even try. All my friends and neighbors warn me that if I grow rice, even more boars will come.
Well, I'm assuming that since boars are an ongoing problem, fences have not provided the simple answer.
Well, yeah, it's complicated. Boars are strong and they're really clever, so eventually they'll break through a fence or find a way around. But also, it's because of the way farmland is in Japan. Usually, everyone in the village or neighborhood has their own plot, but the plots are all clustered together in one part of town. So the risk is shared, which means if you fence only your plot, then you make your neighbor more vulnerable. You'd need to fence the whole area, but there's often not the money or the will to do that, especially because rural Japan is becoming less populated. Young people have moved to the cities, and so it's mostly old people left in the countryside.
So are these boars considered an invasive species in Japan? I mean, in the southeastern United States, we have a huge boar problem.
Yeah, actually, in Japan, this kind of Eurasian boar is indigenous. They do sometimes breed with domesticated pigs, but basically, they're an indigenous species. But they were almost completely wiped out here in Ishikawa in the 1720s. That's the part of Japan where I am. I read about it in a book by Brett Walker. After a year of awful crop damage, all men between 15 and 60 were enlisted to hunt the boars with spears. After that, boars were rare here in Ishikawa. And anyway, there was too much snow for many to survive through the winter. Actually, no one remembers there being boars around here at all. But that changed about 10 years ago. The climate is changing, and so is the territory of the boars. Sakura tells me deer are coming now too. First it was the boars, and now it's the deer. A few years ago when I got a tick bite, the doctor told me I didn't need to worry about Lyme disease because there are no deer in this part of Japan. But Sakura can tell you otherwise. She's in the woods hunting, so she sees them.
And are there any natural predators to keep the deer and boar populations all in check?
Well, at this point, only humans. There were wolves in Japan, but they were driven to extinction at the beginning of the 20th century. The Japanese wolf was much smaller than the North American wolf, so it's not like you can just bring in other wolves to replace them.
Well, that overpopulation can lead to big issues. I know this from personal experience because where I live, the wild turkey population is getting out of control. I mean, they are super aggressive. I even had one sit right outside of my car door waiting for me to exit. And I was stuck in there for, I'd say, a good 20 minutes.
Yikes, I've heard about those bully turkeys. Well, it seems like here in Japan, there's news of an old lady getting knocked down or a boar running through a school or something like that happening somewhere every week. And in rural areas where there are very few people, the boars get really bold. Sakura works with other hunters to patrol a bunch of box traps set up at the edges of town. They're set up on side roads heading into the mountains or between fields and forest. When it's her week to patrol, she'll be up at 5 or 6 in the morning. She drives around to check each trap and see if there's a boar. And if it's a big one, she'll call the other hunters, and they'll help her kill it and process it. While I was working on water, wood, and wild things, I spent a whole winter making the rounds with her, and I ended up learning to skin and butcher a boar, and sometimes I had to help Sakura when the other hunters couldn't come.
Oh, I'd love to know what that experience was like.
It wasn't something I ever imagined I'd want to do. I grew up where there's a lot of hunting, in rural Washington State, outside Seattle, but my family doesn't hunt, and I had never gone. I had this really negative stereotype of hunting because I loved animals and nature. But actually, hunters like Sakura are a lot closer to nature than most of us are. The hunters I've met have a deeper understanding of how we affect the ecosystems we live in. You really need to know an animal well to hunt it, and that tends to make you respect it. That takes a certain kind of humility.
Yeah, that's been my experience as well in talking with hunters. Now, we're not talking about trophy hunters here, but specifically the people who hunt to put food on the table.
Yeah. And you know, my family did raise some animals for meat, but a lot of our livestock ended up being more like pets. I mean, I had a rooster so tame, I could paint his toenails. I honestly feel really ambivalent about taking the lives of animals so we can eat them. It's easier to just turn a blind eye or draw a clear line about what's okay or what's not. So I have a lot of respect for Sakura, how she can love boars, but also hunt them. This spring, I rode along with Sakura again for a few days to see how it was going. We hadn't seen each other in a while, so we caught up in the car. While we were driving around, we chatted about whether the Olympics will happen, what we're planting in our vegetable gardens, and that kind of thing. She told me her hunting mentor, Hoshiba-san, died last year. He was in his 70s.
Hana-san ni yutta kke? Hoshiba-san wakarimasu ka?
Hai.
Hoshiba-san ga mou inai desu.
Ah, sou desu ka?
Hai, shinjatta desu.
Ah,
byouki desu.
That's so sad.
She told me she's struggling because she doesn't have anyone to teach her now.
Mou, ano, shuryo, hunter, hunting no sensei ga inai kara.
I asked if she's trying to find a new hunting teacher. Sakura said she is, but a sense of connection is really important. And she can't find a mentor she connects with. Sakura was the first woman hunter in this area. Before she met Hoshiba-san, she had a hard time getting someone to teach her. We sat down one day in March to talk.
Hoshiba-san wa, watashi to futari kiri de, hunting ni dekakeru koto wa, nani mo omotte nakutte.
She's saying, Hoshiba-san didn't care at all about the fact that we were hunting together, just the two of us. But other hunters really didn't think it was appropriate that the two of us would go in the woods together.
Hunting だとしても、こう、山に入ったりとか。
The other thing she mentioned is that some men thought a woman wouldn't be strong enough to go hunting, which is nonsense. And anyway, when Sakura was younger, she was on the national judo team. She doesn't compete anymore, but she still practices with her teenage daughters. But now, Sakura says she's having a hard time finding a teacher who shares her way of thinking and who doesn't have those hang-ups about women.
Well, what about finding another woman who hunts? Wouldn't that work for her?
Well, yeah, but there are a few problems. Her hunter friends who are women live in different towns, and there are territories. You're only really supposed to hunt in your own area. But also, Sakura says she has no interest in making a women's hunting group.
女性だからとか女性ならではのとかそういったものを私は一切なくしたい。
She's saying, I want to get rid of the way of thinking that, oh, because you're a woman or only if you're a woman. I don't think there's any reason to distinguish between female hunters and male hunters. So I have no interest in creating a women's hunting group or a girls' hunting club or anything like that. As long as you want to hunt, it shouldn't matter what your sex is. That's the attitude I want to focus on. And as I keep hunting alongside men, I hope they will start to think that way too. The other thing Sakura told me that cracks me up is that apparently people were worried about how a woman could pee in the woods.
ハンティングする上で不便なことは何かって聞かれたら、男の人みたいに立っておしっこができないこと。
I mean, I played in the woods every day when I was a kid, so this just does not seem like a problem to me. If you need to pee, you pee. It hasn't been a problem for Sakura, but she says it would be really convenient to be able to pee standing up. She says that's the only advantage men have over women with hunting.
もう本当に私立ってできたらどんなにいいだろうと思います。
So anyway, Hoshiba-san was a really special mentor. He wanted Sakura to learn how to skin and butcher a boar before she could learn how to hunt.
Hoshiba-san はもともと和食料理の料理ホテルの料理長をしてた方で、はい、
She's saying, Hoshiba-san was originally a chef at a hotel, specializing in washoku, Japanese cuisine. The most important thing he taught me, she says, was to always eat the animals that I hunted. This was his first lesson, not how to hunt well, but to make sure I eat the animals that I kill. When I take an animal's life, I should respect that life by eating the animal. This was the first thing I learned from him.
And how does Sakura prepare the boar?
She's always trying different things. She has an oven, which is not that common in a Japanese kitchen. I'm envious, actually. She might brine and roast a tenderloin. She told me that lately she's been cooking the meat sous vide with rosemary and garlic. She also has a dehydrator that she uses to make treats for her dogs.
So do people in Japan eat a lot of game? Because I know consumption here has definitely been on the increase for a few years, and it really spiked last year during the pandemic.
Besides hunters like Sakura, most people don't eat game these days. And for a lot of people, boar meat has as bad a reputation as the animals do. The image is that the meat is stinky and tough. It's hard to find traditional local recipes for boar. In the past, people were eating some boar. But with modernization and westernization, it was displaced by farmed meat. The image of Japanese food, and what most people in Japan will also say is typical, is fish, rice, and miso soup. But really, people do eat a lot of pork, beef, and chicken, not to mention bread and pasta.
So tell me about some of the more popular meat-centric dishes that people eat these days.
Well, you know what's interesting? A lot of the popular Japanese dishes that contain meat have a foreign origin. Ramen is considered Chinese food in Japan. And katsu, those breaded and fried pork cutlets, that comes from the word cutlets, katsuretsu. Yakiniku, grilled meat, that's basically Korean barbecue, and its history is related to Japan's colonization of Korea. Most of those famous Japanese meat dishes only became popular in the last 100 years or so. Even wagyu, the super tender and marbled Japanese beef, it's a relatively new thing. That's because there were a lot of taboos around eating meat until the late 1800s, the beginning of the Meiji period.
Huh, so why is that? Were people largely vegetarian or pescatarian?
Well, it's more complicated than that. I asked Takeshi Watanabe to help explain the history of meat eating in Japan, which is entangled with people's relationship to wild boars.
I'm Takeshi Watanabe. I teach at Wesleyan University in Connecticut. I teach East Asian studies broadly. And I also teach food history. I'm actually American, but my parents are Japanese, and they went back and forth because of my father's job. And so my first memories are of Japan.
My initial understanding, and the way it's often explained, is that Buddhism was a reason for rules or taboos against eating meat. But that's not the whole story.
So in the Nara period, in the 8th century or so, there was an emperor who was a very devout Buddhist. And he did issue this edict that banned meat eating. And the edict does mention Buddhism, or Buddhism is the reason that is given that we should not eat particular kinds of meat. But actually, more and more scholars believe it was political. And so the banned meats are things like cows, oxen, because they were very important for rice agriculture. And it wasn't necessarily that the emperor was concerned about killing cows and oxen, but it was more about killing very precious livestock that was necessary for transportation and labor.
But you could kill a boar that was threatening your crops. And in fact, many of the rules only apply to the growing season, so I guess what you did with your livestock in the winter was your own business. But also, this part is very relatable. People didn't want to eat the animals that were part of their household. And you know, the elites were Buddhist, but it's not clear how much Buddhism was part of regular people's lives. It was definitely mixed up and entwined with other kinds of ethics and belief systems too, like Shinto, which is not really a religion so much as a belief that there is a spirit in all things, particularly in nature. I asked Takeshi whether Shinto had an influence on how people thought about meat eating.
The value system is very vague. You know, there's no Ten Commandments that you're supposed to follow. But one of the beliefs or prohibitions or taboos surrounds blood and the shedding of blood. Buddhism is more about you do not want to incur bad karma by intervening, by disrupting karma or creating pain and suffering in this world. Whereas the Shinto taboos around blood are more about purity and about kind of taboos. And so slaughtering animals was also a very taboo occupation.
But there were exceptions for eating meat for medicinal purposes. And there were euphemisms to make it more palatable, like calling boar meat botan, which means peony. With this history of taboos and bans on eating certain kinds of animals, especially livestock, we're talking about over 1,000 years. People definitely were eating some meat, even if there was a stigma attached to it, and even if there were edicts banning it.
Right, and the emperor and subsequent emperors have had to issue them again and again. And what that means is that these edicts were not followed.
And remember, boar was never explicitly banned. Imagine you're a peasant farmer. You have to pay taxes in rice. That's your currency. So most of the rice you grow, you have to give to the government. And then you're growing other grains and vegetables for yourself and collecting wild food too.
You are dependent on lots of different kinds of things around you to survive. Especially also if your crop fails, right? If you have drought or famine or just there's so many things that could go wrong, then hunting is yet another lifeline, right? And you're not going to deny your family that resource if that's what you need.
By hunting a boar or deer, you could protect what you were growing and gain another source of food. The pest control efforts that Sakura helps with are part of this long battle between farmers and the wildlife that want to eat their crops. Of course, attitudes about hunting and motivations have shifted over time and across different classes. Some samurai, for example, hunted for sport. But even if eating game meat was acceptable under specific circumstances, eating livestock was generally frowned upon.
those attitudes changed with Westernization and the Meiji period, when Japan was forced open by Commodore Perry from the United States.
When Commodore Matthew C. Perry arrived with his fleet of black ships in 1853, Japan had been mostly closed to exchange with the West for a few hundred years. Then suddenly, there was this sense that Japan had fallen behind.
Japan was clearly on the defensive. And if the idea was, well, if you can't beat them, you gotta, you know, join them. So basically, you know, in a generation or two, Japan is able to modernize at an unprecedented pace. The Japanese government hired military experts from the West to advise them for their modernization. And these experts were telling Japanese that, you know, they're too small and they need to, like, bulk up. And eating meat was the solution.
With modernization and westernization, game meat was almost entirely displaced by farm meat. And this changed people's relationship to the environment, too. If you're growing vegetables and grains, wolves are helpers because they kill the deer and boars that might eat your crop. But if you're raising livestock, the wolves become a threat. And so, within a few decades, wolves were hunted to extinction. We just eliminated our ally in the ancient battle against boars. So, you might wonder how this all played out in terms of what people were actually eating. At the beginning of the Meiji period, in the late 1800s, most people didn't really have a taste for red meat, or anything bloody or fatty. Tuna belly was sometimes fed to cats. So, most meat dishes from that period are really heavily seasoned with things like soy sauce and miso to cover up some of that red meat flavor. One of the first dishes to become popular was gyunabe.
It was basically cubed beef with green onions or scallions and kind of like sukiyaki today, right, with some vegetables. And so that was one popular dish. Another one that emerges from this time is actually kare raisu or curry rice. And that was brought through the British military advisors. And the British were thought to have the world's best navy at the time. And so the Japanese employed these people to teach and train their own navy.
So that's how Japan ended up with such a new meat cuisine relative to the country's long history. And that's why game is generally excluded from what most people think of as their national cuisine. That British interpretation of Indian curry has now become thoroughly Japanese. Japanese curry is made with a roux, and the spices tend to be sweet and mild. Most people buy bricks of the spiced roux and add it to simmered carrots, onion, potato, and some kind of meat. Usually, it's beef or pork. But if you live in a rural area like Yamanaka, you might sometimes get meat from a hunter. That never completely went away in the countryside. And a lot of my friends here, if Sakura gives them some boar meat, they'll make curry, because it's pretty foolproof. Everyone loves it, and it disguises the gamey flavor of the boar. And this is a little different from the gyunabe that Takeshi was talking about, but another thing people around here will occasionally make with boar meat is nabe. Nabe just means pot, but it's also the soup or stew you make in that pot. Nabe is another one of those foolproof dishes, kind of a default if you're not sure what to cook. So shishi nabe, or boar nabe, that usually has napa cabbage, carrots, some satoimo, which is a kind of taro. It can have other root vegetables like burdock or potato. It can have mushrooms, and it's seasoned really heavily with miso. But this is interesting. If you ask people in Yamanaka if there are traditional recipes for boar meat, they'll say no. There are no local recipes passed down through generations, and eating boar is a novelty. Most people, especially city people, have never had any kind of game.
It's just my personal impression that because of maybe the slaughtering and the hunting and the kind of country associations with it, because it's not urban, it's tied with maybe farmers, it's more maybe survival food, it wasn't high end.
But that's changing. Now in Japan, when people talk about game, they use the word jibie, from the French jibie, meaning game. It first appeared in a Japanese newspaper in 1985, and now, jibie is the word people use to talk about game. Jibie is trendy in fancy restaurants, and among people who are interested in local food.
Anything French in Japan is very haute, and anything kind of related vaguely to the West also gains prestige immediately. And it's just, unfortunately, this legacy of imperialism, I think. And those restaurants that serve game in Tokyo and in Omotesando or Azabu, like these very trendy, expensive neighborhoods, are trying to tap into that French cuisine and that tradition to overcome other connotations that the meat had in earlier history.
Inoshishi is stinky country food, but GBA is sophisticated and cool. Kind of the way there's been this boom of charcuterie and nose-to-tail butchery in the U.S., which also has its roots in peasant food, right? In Japan, the national government is promoting GBA as a way to deal with pest animals. And some people see it as a way to revive rural economies where agriculture and traditional industries are fading. Here's Sakura.
日本は、あの、流行ってる風になっています。あの、国が、国を挙げて、
Sakura says that people want to try GBA, but that doesn't mean they really start eating it all the time. It's still hard to come by, and it's expensive if you're not a hunter, or if you're not friends with a hunter.
あの、豚とか牛とかの、あの、ちょっとランクが上のお肉だったら、
Sakura says that people are used to pork or beef from the supermarket that's soft and marbled, or higher-ranked meat, as Sakura puts it. Industrially farmed meat is very consistent. People are used to buying meat that's already cut into bite-sized pieces or thin slices and very easy to cook. The quality of game meat can vary, and the amount of fat. So it takes some skill to cook, especially if you don't throw it in a curry or nabe where you boil the heck out of it and disguise it with a lot of seasoning. Every once in a while, a hunter will drop off some boar meat at a restaurant in Yamanaka, and they'll make kushiyaki. The meat is cut into bite-sized pieces and grilled on skewers. But often it's kind of tough and pungent. I've had some pretty bad versions, so I can see why people don't like it. But Sakura took me to this izakaya that specializes in GBA. It's in her hometown, Hakusan, about an hour from Yamanaka. The chef is a hunter, and he makes kushiyaki that is really good.
When we return, Hannah tries some GBA and learns more about hunting traditions in Japan. And now back to our story.
It looks like any regular izakaya, kind of a casual gastropub, except there's all this hunting paraphernalia. There's bear skin and pheasant feathers and antlers. There's a target on the wall with bullet holes in it and a bunch of hunting badges lined up on a ledge. I noticed this poster for the Japan Hunters Association with two women carrying guns, wearing the same orange vest and ball cap that Sakura has.
春味酒どころ三回里の奥村重俊です。
The chef's name is Shigetoshi Okumura, and the name of the izakaya is Sankairi, which means mountain sea village. Okumura is frying and grilling things behind a long counter, and his wife helps pour drinks and brings food to a couple of tables. He hunts some of the meat himself and also gets it from hunter friends.
野菜とかは、友達が農家やってるそこからもらったり、農協。
Okumura is saying, I get my vegetables from friends who are farmers or the local agricultural co-op. As much as possible, I follow buy locally, consume locally. I use fish that I either catch myself or get from a former classmate who's a fisherman. Okumura has been cooking since he graduated high school, and he mostly worked in Italian, French, and high-end Chinese restaurants. He's got all the typical izakaya things on the menu, like sashimi, cucumbers with miso, lots of fried or grilled foods that go well with drinks. And then he has a lot of original recipes, too. He says one of the most popular things is bear sashimi, which I was pretty reluctant to try.
Don't imagine.
I feel sorry for the bear. I don't want to eat it. I know it's already dead. I don't know. It's beautiful.
We also tried badger jjigae, like the Korean stew, boar spare ribs, steamed Chinese buns with boar filling.
I'm glad we each got our own. I don't want to share it.
Deer katsu and a charcuterie plate.
Roast ham.
で、鹿のすねのハム。The charcuterie plate had inoshishi ham, deer ham, smoked deer, smoked badger liver, miso cured duck, and homemade bacon. And of course, we tried the shishi kushiyaki. It was one of the best things, and Okumura told me how he makes it. He cuts the boar meat into bite-sized pieces, and he marinates it for at least a day with a mix of salt, sugar, ground ginger, five spice, black pepper, and a little baking soda to tenderize it. He just slides those onto a skewer and grills them. And he serves it with a little homemade yuzu kosho, a blend of yuzu peel and green chili pepper. The meat really was very tender, and the spices are subtle, but I think they mellow out the gaminess. That's one of his most popular items, and it seems like a pretty easy introduction to GBA. He says the advantage of an izakaya is that it's really casual. You can try a lot of different things while you drink and talk with your friends or colleagues. Some of his regulars are other hunters, but he has a lot of people trying GBA for the first time. Okumura never pushes anyone to eat something they don't want to, but he really wants people to know GBA can be delicious. I asked him if there's anything else he wants people to know.
勘違いとかは... まあありますね、どうせタダやろっていうお客さんも中にはいますし、タダなもんでもないし、ね、あとはボランティアみたいなカラスの駆除みたいなボランティアもしてるし。
He said he wants people to know that hunters are like volunteers. They are helping nature and they're helping other human beings.
そういうことも知ってほしいですね、うん、そうそう社会貢献をしていることも。
And he says he wants them to know it's not easyYou can't just decide to be a hunter and start the next day. You need permits and you need to pay annual fees. He also wanted to say that it's difficult to own a gun in Japan.
日本で鉄砲を持つのは難しいです。
And hunting is expensive.
そしてお金もいっぱいかかります。
So how does a person become a hunter?
Sakura told me what it was like for her.
半年ぐらいしかなくて、もう大変でした。準備するのがもう時間がなくて。すごい大変だったんですけど。
It was a tough 6 months to get started, she said.
まず、狩猟をするためのハンターライセンス、鉄砲。
She said she needed 2 hunting licenses, one for using a gun and one for using a box trap. And then, the most difficult thing was getting a permit to own a gun.
許可がこれが一番大変でした。
First, you have to pass a written test and a practical test. Then, the police do a background check. They look into everywhere you've lived or worked over the past 10 years. And they come talk to your neighbors to make sure you're not mentally unstable or violent. They also have to confirm that you have the right kind of place to keep the gun.
銃のロッカーは必ず壁に穴を開けて固定です。
You need to have a gun locker, Sakura tells me.And it has to be permanently fixed to the wall. And it has to have 3 locks. And you can't tell your family where the keys are. You need to install another lockbox in a different room for ammunition. But that one can have just 1 key. And then, once you have the hunting license and a gun license, you still need to pay an annual fee to be allowed to hunt.
しかも、猟していい時期って11月から3月までの。
The fee is about $300 per year.And you're allowed to hunt from November to March. But if you do pest control, a lot of places will waive part of the fee or even pay for each boar you catch. And you can keep trapping boars all year because they're a threat to crops.
So you mentioned box traps a little earlier. I guess that means Sakura doesn't always use a gun?
Yeah, she can't use her gun at most of the traps because they're too close to where people live. When she does go gun hunting, that means going into the woods searching for boars.For that, she needs a team, or at least one other person to go in the woods with her. But mostly, Sakura traps boars near town. The box trap is like a big wire cage with a trip wire. There's a hole at the top, so if you accidentally catch a bear, they can just climb out. The boars can't get out, though. To kill them, she electrocutes them. So this spring, I was out making the rounds with Sakura for a few days. And most of the time, there's nothing. It's kind of nice just driving around and stepping out to walk in the woods a little. You really notice the seasons changing day by day. But then one morning, she picks me up. And she's like, oh my god, I got one! And it's energetic! She painted creosote on the trap because the boars like the smell, and it worked. Her car is all outfitted for hunting. In the back, she's got tubs and bags for dealing with the meat, knives for butchering. She's got hooks for rain gear and gloves. And it always kind of smells like Inoshishi.
Oh, wow. It's like the size of a kind of medium-sized dog, maybe bigger. Oh, it's like the size of a big dog.
The boar sees us and starts throwing itself against the cage. It's panicked, and this, for me, is the hardest part, seeing its fear. If you're squeamish, you might want to skip ahead about a minute and 30 seconds. But I think it's valuable to know this part of the story too, particularly if you do eat meat. Sakura has what looks like a spear, attached by a cable to what looks like a car battery. She clamps another set of cables to the trap to make a circuit with the battery. And then she stabs the boar to conduct the current. The boar stiffens and collapses in the mud. And then she drags it out of the trap and cuts its jugular to drain the blood. That seems to go on forever. I watch the blood stain the boar's fur and pool on the ground. Sakura says draining the blood makes the meat taste better. After a few minutes, Sakura drags the boar to her car and heaves it into a large shallow bin in the back. I feel so sad to see an animal die. Every time, it's sad. But then, as soon as we drive away, we see more of their destruction. This whole hillside is dug up, and big rocks are sliding across the road. That kind of destruction can't be good for other animals either if there are too many boars. And it makes me wonder what could happen to my garden too. Sakura has to go to work, but first she takes the boar to the river where she can gut it and clean it. She drags the boar down to the river and washes its fur. Then she saws open its belly and pulls out all the organs. She'll keep the heart and the liver, and the rest she leaves for scavengers. Often, the crows and hawks start circling as soon as they see her. She leaves the gutted boar to chill in the river while she goes to work. I'll come over to her house later in the evening when she skins and butchers it. While she's driving me back home, we talk about making our own food. Sakura says she feels sorry for the boars, but it feels so good to go into the mountains, catch them herself, and then cook them herself.
野菜とか も一緒かな、なんか
そうです ね
自分で育ててお世話してで食べる。
She's excited about growing her own vegetables too, caring for them and then eating them. We notice that the wild ume blossoms are starting to bloom early, and then that reminds us it'll be time in a few months to make umeboshi.
梅干しと自分で作った味噌と自分で作ったお米と自分で取ってきたイノシシのお肉と最高ですね。一緒に食べた素晴らしい素晴らしい食事。
We both made miso last week. Sakura is growing rice again this year with one of our friends, and then she's got the meat she hunts. It's everything she needs for a meal.That evening, Sakura brings home the boar that she kept chilling in the river. She picks me up and we go to her house to skin and butcher the boar. Her friend Yoshiko Tanaka is there. She's a hunter from another town. Her nickname is Taka-san, and that's what we call her. And Taka-san is so cool, by the way. She rides a Harley and she has a cute Hokkaido hunting dog named Chikua, which is a kind of fish cake. Anyway, they hang up the boar in the entryway. Sakura has this whole setup.They rinse off the boar and hang it on a hook to drip dry, and then they set up a table for butchering. They put the boar on the table with its legs up in the air, and Sakura's two dogs are watching from behind a doggy gate. While Sakura and Taka-san are skinning the boar, they're just chatting about their days, about Sakura's husband, and asking me about my part-time job at the sake brewery. While they're having this conversation, they keep making small incisions between the skin and the fat,working their way around until they can cut off the feet and then the head and then just fold up the skin and throw it away. At some point, the boar stops being an animal and becomes meat. They cut out the spine and divide up racks of ribs and sections of legs. Meanwhile, they're commiserating about some of the macho guys they have to deal with, and Taka-san says the mountain god or spirit is supposedly female.
なんか山の神様は女の人だから、あ、女性だから、あの、女は山に入るなみたいな。
People used to say, if a woman went deep in the mountains, she'd make the mountain spirit jealous.
あ、そうなの？
うん、マタギ、兄のマタギの文化で、山の神様は、
So, women weren't allowed to go hunting. The hunters thought, if women came along, they wouldn't catch anything. Or anyway, that was the excuse.
酒蔵は一緒です。
あ、そうですか。
It's the same with sake breweries, I tell them. That was the excuse for keeping women out. It would make the sake spirit jealous. But I think if she's a woman, shouldn't we be friends? Sakura agrees that it'd be good. Taka-san points out, a lot of those old superstitions and beliefs, they're really about honoring the mountains.
India にしてもね、あの、アイノにしても、やっぱ自然信仰というか、
And she says that worshipping nature is part of a lot of indigenous cultures, like the Ainu in Japan and indigenous peoples in the Americas, too. And the part that Taka-san and Sakura relate to, I think, is that living close to nature, being part of it, really, gives you a sense of awe, a sense of appreciation. Sakura told me it was actually hunting that made her feel close to the boars. She got to see them up close and learn how they live. They're part of her life now.
なんだろう。でも私の生活の一部でもあるんですよ。あの食べるっていうことに関しても。
Sakura is saying, when I think about eating them, you know, mostly they get thrown away. Most hunters think about killing boars as exterminating pests, so they rarely eat them. They just throw the carcasses away. But I really hate that. If I've taken a life, then I feel responsible for it. Eating the boar feels like the right thing to do.It's a way to express my love for them, my respect for them. It's like saying thank you for their lives, or telling them that they will continue to live on through me. That sort of feeling. It's like I'm setting down guidelines, you know?
そういう感じで命をありがとうって、私があなたの命をつなげますっていう気持ちで。
I admire Sakura's clarity and integrity. There's no tidy resolution to the conflict between people and boars.I'm thinking about the fallow fields by my house. If people keep giving up on growing some of their own food, like my neighbors did, That makes us even more reliant on industrial agriculture. And that's not good for wildlife either. We're part of the ecosystems we live in, and we shape them too. Farming puts us in conflict with boars. Climate change is making it worse. And it's because of humans that boars have no other predators in Japan besides us. So they've become our responsibility. Sakura says it's her dream to be almost entirely self-sufficient.
そうなんです。あと、なんか小屋を建てたりとか、なんかそういう、なんかお百姓さん、昔の百姓。
She wants to be a 百姓, which means like a person of 100 jobs, like a peasant farmer who can take care of all their own needs.
なんか自然と一緒に生きるってそういうことなのかなと思って、その。
She wants to live closely with nature, and she feels like the knowledge those peasant farmers used to have was superior. They could endure harsh winters, eat with the seasons, and preserve their own food. She wants to be able to do all those things too. It's not like she wants to go back in time to when you could die of famine if you lost your crop, or when women were property. She likes being able to find information about almost anything online. But we've also lost something.
食べ物が自分の体を作っているっていうそのサイクルを理解できないような環境は危険だと思います。
Sakura says it's dangerous not to understand the cycle we're part of, that plants and animals make our bodies.She says people have only a vague understanding of that, but that they don't really want to think about it, or they don't have time to. She says everyone is too busy. Japanese people are too busy. She wants to be different.
Thanks to Hannah Kirshner for bringing us this story. To read more about Sakura and Yamanaka, check out Hannah's book, Water, Wood, and Wild Things.
Hey folks, thanks for listening. Tune in next week for more Best of Proof.